Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Welcome to Cool Kids Cook with Kid Chef Eliana. Get ready to explore the foodie world with one of the youngest published cookbook authors. We'll share tips, techniques, recipes, and speak to some of the world's top chefs. Now, here is your host, Chef Eliana.
Welcome to the program, Cool Kids Cook, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, a cookbook author, foodie, and your show host. Here's what's happening with you. I have a game on my Facebook page called Figure Out This Food. I post a close-up of a food item, and the first two guesses get a shout-out here. So, congratulations to Corey Lemoyne, Jamie Harrison Vickery, and Mel Davenport for guessing habanero pepper. This past week, I was at the Farm to Table International Symposium. I'll tell you all about it later in the show. At Farm to Table, I interviewed White House Executive Pastry Chef Bill Yassis. He was amazing and had great stories to tell. You can listen to that interview on Monday, August 26, 2013. Now it's time for an interview with Ilana Amsterdam of Ilana's Pantry. Ilana Amsterdam is a nationally renowned chef, eco-entrepreneur, and gluten-free guru. She is the author of The Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook. Miss Ilana has been featured in such prestigious magazines as Shape, Delicious Living, The Washington Post, and The Wall Street Journal. Miss Ilana's website receives an astounding 1 million visitors per month and is coveted for its weekly recipes, ingredient selection, food pricing, and food preparation tips. Thank you so much, Miss Ilana, for being on the show, and welcome to Cool Kids Cook.
Thanks for having me, Chef Eliana. It's great to be here with you.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. You began a gluten-free lifestyle when you were diagnosed with celiac disease in 1998. Can you explain to our listeners what celiac disease is?
Absolutely. Celiac disease is an autoimmune disorder. It's not a food allergy, which people commonly think it is. It's an autoimmune disorder which is triggered when a person with celiac disease eats gluten. So people that have celiac disease need to be on a gluten-free diet. Gluten is found in wheat, rye, and barley. And when people who have celiac disease eat gluten, it not only affects the lining of the digestive system, it can also affect many other systems in the body. It's considered a gateway autoimmune disorder. Celiac disease, people with celiac disease need gluten-free food the way people with diabetes need insulin. And the gluten-free diet is the only cure for celiac disease.
Oh, wow. That must be horrible. But, you know, there's lots of different ways, you know, you can still have food that's really good without gluten. And when your son was 3 years old, he was also diagnosed with celiac disease. What did you do at that point to change the family's diet, and how did you convert your recipes to gluten-free versions?
Well, that's a great question, Chef Eliana, and I already love to cook, thankfully. So when my son and I both were suffering, you know, diagnosed with celiac disease, I did make it my mission to turn all of the family's favorite recipes into gluten-free versions. And actually, we are not only gluten-free, I am also grain-free because the gluten-free diet didn't work for me. And that happens to people with celiac disease. So I went on a grain-free or paleolithic diet. And in the last decade since 2001, and I've written three cookbooks, the Gluten-Free Almond Flour Cookbook, Gluten-Free Cupcakes, and Paleo Cooking from Ilana's Pantry, which combined have several hundred recipes in them. And the latest book, which came out in June, just made the New York Times bestseller list. So it's been quite a project. It's been quite a project turning all of these favorite recipes, family favorites, into gluten-free, grain-free versions, but we've had a great time doing it, as you can imagine.
I bet you did. And, well, congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
Welcome. And, you know, it must be, you know, really hard since you have all of these recipes, and so you have to convert all of them to make them gluten-free so that you and your family can eat them.
Well, I think that's partly true. Mostly it's fun. It's not, I mean, it definitely is a challenge, but since I've been going at this now, I was diagnosed with celiac disease in 1998, the dark ages of gluten-free. Nobody knew what the gluten-free diet was then, and nobody knew what celiac disease was then. Since then, I've really made it my mission to turn, as I mentioned, to turn all of our favorite recipes into gluten-free versions and grain-free versions as well. But since it's been over a decade, I really start from scratch. Now I'm not as focused on converting an existing recipe as I am with creating a very original recipe using some of my favorite ingredients like almond flour, coconut oil, and coconut butter. And I love working with those ingredients because they're not only delicious, they're highly nutritious and very easy to use.
Right. And so now you make all of these wonderful recipes. And, you know, so many people, even without celiac disease, are going gluten-free. Can you explain what it is and what the benefits of being gluten-free can be?
Absolutely. That's another great question, Chef Ileana. And as I mentioned, people with celiac disease have to go on a gluten-free diet. Gluten is a life-threatening issue to them. And as you mentioned, other people who don't have celiac disease are also going on the gluten-free diet. I think that probably in about 10 years, a lot of doctors will have the same view that my physician has, which is that gluten can be an autoimmune disruptor in the body, and that certain people who maybe have arthritis, skin conditions, all kinds of undiagnosable health conditions that are unrelenting and don't go away, seem to benefit somehow when they remove gluten from their diet. So it's a worthwhile experiment for some people. I always advise people, because celiac disease is of an epidemic proportion, according to the World Health Organization, I always advise people to get a celiac disease panel blood test from their medical doctor, their physician, before they go on a gluten-free diet. Because, as I mentioned before, if you do have celiac, eating gluten could be life-threatening to you. So people really need to know.
Right, definitely. But, you know, you can still eat all of these great foods, even, you know, gluten-free. Now,
absolutely.
Yes, they can. And your website is so popular and has hundreds of gluten-free recipes. What made you decide to write a cookbook?
Oh, I think I had always dreamed of writing a cookbook since I was young, probably. I used to bake cookies. I was an entrepreneur like you, as a child entrepreneur, Chef Ileana, and I baked cookies when I was a teenager and sold them at the local tennis club. And in terms of later on being an adult, I just had was responding to popular demand from the website when I put together my three cookbooks for Random House, and they're published through Random House. And it's been amazing to work with Random House and publish these three cookbooks, which have been really well received. And it feels really good, as I'm sure you probably know, to help people who have dietary restrictions, help them break bread with their friends and family and eat good tasting healthy food.
Right. And so, like you were saying, you've always wanted to write the cookbook, so then you had the chance and you wrote it, and now you have, you know, three cookbooks. And, you know, you can share all of your recipes with everybody, and people who are going gluten-free, or like or your paleo cookbook. And, you know, you can share all of those recipes, and, you know, people love them.
Yes, I have a lot of readers, actually, that don't have any dietary restrictions, no celiac disease, no arthritis, nothing. They don't need to eliminate gluten from their diets, but they like the recipes on the website and the cookbooks because the recipes are so simple. I make them easy enough for my own children to make them. They're highly nutritious, and best of all, they taste like regular food. My husband doesn't have celiac disease, so he wants to eat food that tastes like the real thing. So it's great to have a critic like that and have someone that wants really, really delicious recipes because it helps me raise my recipe rating game.
Right, and even for someone like him who's not gluten-free, to say that he likes it is good. That's awesome. and so that he yeah. wants to, you know, keep eating that. That's lovely. And
exactly.
I love almond flour. Now, I love almond flour and have even made my own. I made an almond muffin recipe that was inspired by one of yours. What are the health benefits of almond flour? You're welcome.
Almond flour is, well, almonds are a superfood, and almond flour is a superfood as well. Almonds are high in protein. They're rich in good fats. They're low in carbohydrates. They are high in vitamin E. Almonds have, as I mentioned, good fats that help reduce cholesterol. The benefits of almonds are somewhat endless, and I feel really good giving both my children desserts made with almond flour, even though only one has celiac disease. The other has no dietary restrictions whatsoever, but almond flour is far healthier than wheat flour, so he's benefiting it as well, eating my almond flour desserts.
Right, and so he's getting all of the nutrients, even though he doesn't really, that they don't even have to eat it, they still like it, and it's wonderful.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, grab an almond flour muffin while we head to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune into Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana. Let's continue our interview with Miss Ilana Amsterdam of Ilana's Pantry. So, Miss Ilana, what are your future plans for Ilana's Pantry? Do you have more cookbooks planned?
Well, we had a big year this past year, my family and I, and a big part of that was writing this third cookbook, Paleo Cooking from Ilana's Pantry. It just came out a couple months ago, June 18th to be exact. So I'm working on doing a bunch of book signings and promoting this book. And I haven't planned book number four yet, but I continue also to post to my website new recipes all the time for my readers.
Right, and, you know, keep them updated on new things that you're working on and recipes that you've created. And then you just came out with the new cookbook, the Paleo Cookbook, and so you're promoting that one. So you've got a lot. You've got a lot to do.
Exactly.
Well, now let's find out more about you personally, Miss Ilana. What is your favorite dish to cook, and what is your favorite dish to eat?
Well, I don't know if you could call it cooking. Maybe I need to say my favorite dish to make. And my favorite dish to make is ice cream. I have an entire chapter in my new book, Paleo Cooking from Ilana's Pantry, on ice creams. And, of course, since that book is gluten-free, grain-free, and dairy-free, I'm making ice cream without any milk. I'm also making it without eggs, which are sometimes used to make very rich ice creams. I make my ice cream with coconut milk and hemp seed. And my favorite flavor is coffee ice cream to make and to eat.
Oh, wow. Now, that sounds really, that sounds cool. I mean, no pun intended. But my dad, he actually makes ice cream, too. And his is delicious. And our favorite is his New York cheesecake ice cream.
Oh,
so good.
Amazing. That sounds so good. One of the other reasons I love making ice cream is because my boys and all their friends love to eat it. So sometimes the boys will have 4 or 5 friends sleep over, and they'll raid the refrigerator at night to eat some of the homemade ice cream I make, and they think they're eating really bad junk food. But my ice cream is so healthy, I would serve it to them for breakfast, so that makes me really happy.
And so they think, oh, this is awesome. I'm getting like this awesome treat. And then in reality, it's like something super healthy but delicious.
Exactly.
Right. Now, do you eat out at all?
I do. I live in Boulder, Colorado. And we're really lucky because there's quite an amazing food scene in Boulder, Colorado. There's a lot of farm-to-table restaurants.
Oh, wow.
And Boulder's a very... Yeah, the food is so fresh, especially right now during the summer. Oh, the vegetables are incredible. And it's a small town, and we know all of the owners of the restaurants that we go to, so I feel that my son and I can safely eat gluten-free food when we go out for dinner or lunch to those restaurants.
Right, and so they know you, so they give you, you know, a gluten-free, you know, a menu, and all of your things are gluten-free.
Exactly. And Boulder is also, as I mentioned, such a food-conscious town that I think even if they didn't know me, they could safely make a gluten-free meal for just about anyone with celiac disease. We have some amazing restaurants in Boulder.
Oh, wow.
Maybe you'll come visit me, and I can take you to some, Chef Eliana.
Oh, yes, I would love to. I will actually be in Colorado next month, in Colorado Springs.
Oh, how fun. That's about 3 hours from where I live. But if you decide to swing up to Boulder, will you give me a call so that we can take you out?
Definitely. I would love to. That would be spectacular.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yes. So can you share with our listeners your funniest or most disastrous food memory?
That would probably have to be the bitter brownies. I'm always trying to make my food as healthy as possible, which means using as little sweetener as possible. And so one time I was making brownies, and I got a little aggressive and only put a tablespoon or two of honey in them and was using Baker's dark unsweetened chocolate. And those brownies were so bitter that my children spit them out into the sink. That's the great thing about having kid taste testers is that they won't lie to you and tell you that it tastes good. They'll just spit it out.
Oh, right. So they will tell you if they like it or not.
Exactly.
That's so funny. So next time, when you don't make that mistake and you put just a little more sugar or honey.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now talk about unusual foods. What is the most unusual food you've ever eaten? Is there a food you would never eat again?
Wow. I'm a vegetable lover. I love vegetables. I do remember when I was probably about your age, I went to a meeting with my father somewhere across the country, and I think we had escargot. Have you ever had that? It's snails.
I haven't had escargot. Right, I knew that, but I haven't had it yet.
Have you had it?
No, but my sister's had it, and she said that she loves it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I just remember they really tasted a lot like butter. They were drowning in butter. Everything tastes good in butter, in my opinion. I wanted to also mention that the bitter brownies were corrected eventually. I did add more honey to the following batches, and the kids finally ate them and loved them, and there was no more spitting out, by the way.
Wonderful. Great. That's a good thing. Well, I've actually never had escargot, but maybe one day I will try and hopefully I'll like it.
Yeah, it'll taste good. As I mentioned, anything that they serve in that much butter, how could it taste bad?
Right. Not the healthiest, but tasty.
Definitely tasty.
Yes. When you're not busy with your cooking life, what is your favorite pastime?
I love hiking, and I love hiking in nature. Just the other day, my son and I went on a hike in the mountains, and we found wild boysenberries, wild raspberries, lots of wild mushrooms, so we didn't pick those yet. We're going to learn how to mushroom forage, and also wild strawberries. I just love being in nature, being in the quiet, and smelling the smell of the earth in the forest.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. So you found all of these, like, wild berries there that you actually got to pick, and, I mean, I'm sure you, did you eat them?
Oh, yeah, we ate lots of them. They were amazing.
Oh, wow. That must have been just fantabulous because, you know, you get to have all of those fresh wild berries that, you know, you've picked yourselves, and then you go home and you, you know, eat them or cook with them or bake, and then you get to taste them. And I bet they were delicious.
If you come visit me, I'll not only take you out for dinner, I'll take you berry picking as well.
Oh, yes, that would be awesome. I would love to do that. Now,
yeah.
What advice have for kids who have a dream?
Oh, goodness. I bet you would be better at answering that. But I think it's just really important. A couple of tips I would have, because like you, I was a child entrepreneur. I think the first thing is take yourself seriously, even if the adults around you don't. Number one, take yourself seriously, and then the adults around you will. Number two, I would say is be sure to be organized. Write down your ideas. Keep files and lists of all the things that you want to do. And number three is go back and look at those lists and see if you're meeting your goals and see what you need to do to accomplish those goals. That would
right,
be my advice for kids.
Right. That's great advice. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, like, do this and then be very unorganized and, like, you know, you would have papers everywhere. You have this, like, wonderful idea. It's so awesome. Lastly, here's a wacky off-the-wall food question I ask all of my show guests. If you could be any food, what would you be?
I guess if I had to choose a food that I would be coffee ice cream because I think it's just so, so delicious, and it's my favorite food.
Right. I bet you would love that to be coffee ice cream.
Yeah. What food would you be?
Well, I would be a taco because they are very versatile, and you could have, like, these fancy lobster tacos or this, you know, simple homemade, you know, these pork tacos. And it's my favorite food.
Mm.
They are.
Thank you so much for having me, Chef Eliana. It's wonderful to chat with you.
This is wonderful. You've shown us that with a little help and a cool website, eating healthy can be fun and delicious. If you want to find out more about Miss Eliana Amsterdam and Eliana's Pantry, visit KidChefEliana.com for all the links. Chicken bake, gluten-free. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Tune in every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, on Voice America Kids.
Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune in to Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back. I'm Kids Chef Eliana, and it's Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. This past week, I attended the Farm to Table International Symposium here in New Orleans, co-sponsored by the Southern Food and Beverage Institute. I had such a great time, and I learned so much. I'm so excited to tell you all about it. So, on Friday, August 2nd, 2013, I'm just going to kind of tell you about what we did that day and the things that we attended to. So the first thing we attended to was William Rubel, was the first keynote speaker, and he talked about early modern kitchen gardens. And so like some of the highlights were, he said, one of the things that he said was crisp head lettuce is actually iceberg lettuce. And I just thought that was really cool. And I was like, why was it called crisp head? And then they changed it to iceberg. And he said that they actually shipped the crisp head across the country by rail and they covered it in ice. And so people started calling it iceberg. And so that's kind of how the iceberg lettuce got its name. But it used to be called crisp head. And I thought that was so cool. I was like, oh, I didn't even know that. And the difference, he said that there was a difference between a farm and a garden, that farming is staple foods, and the gardening is more like herbs and fruit trees, soft fruits, veggies, etc. And they're definitely different from farms. And staple crops are they only get one crop a year, and gardening, you've got all these different crops. And he also said that in 1599, back then they would have 80 different varieties of lettuces in a salad. Now, I know that sounds pretty crazy. Sometimes we'll just have maybe spinach or about five different, if you have like lettuces, if you have like a spring mix. But, you know, if you were, you know, kind of rich, they would have like 80 different lettuces. And I was like, what? That is a lot of different lettuces. And he also said that they would have like, they would grow like 19 varieties of pears, like over 21 varieties of apples in the UK in January. And that was just in January. And while it was covered in snow. So can you just imagine how many different varieties of fruits and vegetables they would have during the summer? I just was like, well, that would be probably a huge crop. And they also, back then, they also used hotbeds, and the manure actually provides fertility. And they, after 3 days, they take the temperature and to make sure that it's hot, and they got the name hotbeds. And you know, I bet that was pretty stinky. And you would actually plant your vegetables in that, and it would just grow humongous. And he gave an example, and he said collard greens, if you waited a little while after they were ready to harvest, they would bolt, and they would get 6 feet wide and 6 feet high. And it even starts to grow broccoli sprouts from the collard greens. And I was just so amazed. And he talked about all these wonderful things. And I just loved William Rubel's keynote speech. And another one of the sessions that we attended to was farmed up, new farming, new farmers. And it was all about, you know, different, you know, like farming and all these different things that they have. And they have, and that was a keynote, so it was one person, but the sessions had a panel. And so there were about maybe 4 to 5 people on the panel, and they would each have a few minutes to talk about what they wanted to, you know, have a few minutes to say stuff. And for the new farming, new farmers, some of the panelists were Carl Motzenbacher. He is a professor at the LSU Ag Center, which is the Louisiana State University. There was Dorothy Neagle, Rashida Ferdinand, Brian Schallhorn, Schallhorn and Amber from Holly Grove, here in New Orleans. But Carl Motzenbacher, he was from the LSU Ag Center, and he talked, and I thought this was really cool since LSU is in Baton Rouge, which is about an hour and a half away from where I live, and it's just, they had a bunch of different cool things that they do at LSU, and they have like farm tours, and they do sustainable agriculture, a working group, and they have like train other farmers, and they even have student farms where it's a 50-week program where the students have an organic farm and they go through like 2-hour training, and I thought that was fantastic. And LSU actually has vegetable crop classes, organic gardening, and the summer experience summer project where they do all the classes and the gardening, and I just thought that was awesome. And then they had a bunch of other people there too, and they said Rashida Ferdinand, she is the founder and executive director of Sankofa Community Development Corporation, and they do like these different local community farms, and they make they do square foot gardening on raised beds, and they have all of these different vegetables for the community, and it's free, so anybody can just go to the garden and, you know, pick all these vegetables and fruits and everything that they're growing, and I thought that was really cool. And they even have a mobile market, so they, you know, they can drive around and people in the neighborhood can they can stop the truck and they can, you know, pick stuff off the truck too. And Schallhorn is the president of Launch Frozen Innovations Incorporated, and they do hydroponic grass for cows, and that was pretty awesome. And they don't really do it for commercial cow farms, but they do it for smaller cow farms, and they actually plant the seeds in a tray, and they control the humidity, airflow, and sunlight to grow the grass, and the cows actually eat the grass and the roots from the tray. And he said that 1,000 square feet, you can grow enough feed for 100 cows, and that's a lot of cows. And that he is actually from Canada, but now a few independent farms do this in the United States. And then there was also Amber from Holly Grove Kids Program, but they have a Holly Grove Kids Program, and that's actually here in New Orleans. And they have like this kids club where they grow all these different vegetables, which is cool. And they have this, it's a farmer's market where you can go buy your food. And we also went to a luncheon, and the luncheon was actually really cool, because it was the most unusual luncheon ever. The convention center food was actually really good. It was Peter Blink, who was a famous chef. And the paper bag, and you could pick all kinds of fruits. They had like 5 different salads to choose from, 4 different sandwiches. There was, you know, potato chips. There was different soups, and there was a gazpacho. And I just thought it was the coolest luncheon. Then I did an interview with White House Executive Pastry Chef Bill Yasses, but I just wanted to say that I actually did a the Farmers Table Symposium, but I didn't want to really tell you too much about it because I will be airing that interview in a couple of weeks on August 26th, like I said earlier. Then we also went to one called, a session called Journalism, where they talked about like writing recipes and journaling. And they had a food, Elizabeth Jones, who is the founder and director of Food Book Fair, which is actually a pop-up bookstore. And they highlight cookbooks and food books. And they have different magazines. And they have over 80 authors at panel discussions with like an eclectic dinner. And they had Daniel Schumacher, who's the editor of Louisiana Cooking. Louisiana Cookin', they have over 300,000 readers, and they cover the four seasons, carnival, crawfish, football, and oyster. I just thought that was awesome. And I'm actually going to be featured in the October issue of Louisiana Cookin', which will be out very soon. Well, create a dish from farm to table while we head to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Has your role model let you down? Every day it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation, our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Chapelliana. So as I said before, I was at the Farm to Table International Symposium here in New Orleans, co-sponsored by the Southern Food and Beverage Institute. And on Saturday, August 3rd, 2013, the first thing we did on that day was go to the keynote speaker, which was White House pastry chef Bill Yassis, and he talked about the science behind food. And some of his, he had just so many cool things to talk about, and it was a spectacular keynote speech, and he just, it was wonderful. He talked about a couple of different books that some people could read if you wanted to, and he said, like, any book by Patrick McGovern, The Age of Science by Richard Holm, those were a couple of books that he recommended. And he talked about this an instrument that's called Rotovap, R-O-T-O-V-A-P. It's a rotary evaporator, and it's like this huge evaporator where you put your food in it, and it boils at, well, you put water in there, it boils at 40 degrees because of low water pressure. So normally when you boil, it's 212 degrees, and that's when you boil water. But this actually boils water at 40 degrees. And I was like, how do you boil water at 40 degrees? Well, low water pressure. That's how you boil water. And he said that it also preserves nutrients and color. when you boil the water at 40 degrees. And he said that some of the things that are important are when you present food are taste, presentation, drama, source, as in like where your food is comes from and where it's grown, environmental impact, and animal ethics. And also with food, the important things are sweet, sour, salty, and umami, which is flavor. So, you know, how it tastes, and you want to make sure that you have all those elements. You want to have some sweetness and sour. That's why you have sweet and sour, sometimes like sweet and spicy, salty and umami. And he said that food helps science, and it actually helps mostly physics. He had a PowerPoint, and he was showing us on the PowerPoint, he had pictures, and he just talked about the pictures. And one of the pictures was a sphere of paper-thin ice that was filled with fruits. I know. Like, how could you... It's paper-thin, and how did you fill it with fruits? You know, I don't know how you did that, but the picture just looked... It was just... I couldn't explain it. It looked just like a little ball. Like, almost see-through, because it was paper-thin ice. And then it was just filled with fruits, and I was amazed by that. And one of the things that he said was a healthy lifestyle can include dessert. So he believes that a healthy lifestyle includes desserts, but you want to have like smaller portions and, you know, not like, oh, I'm going to have two huge slices of cake, but, you know, more small, like a little, you know, like a slice of cake but, you know, have like your fruits and your vegetables and your grains and, you know, the things that are in, like, my plate. And he wants to educate, inspire, and motivate. So those were, you know, some of the highlights that he said that I thought were really cool. But we made sure to record his keynote speech so we could listen to it again. And also, after that, I went to the Great American Seafood Cook-Off, which was part of the Louisiana Food Service and Hospitality Expo sponsored by the Louisiana Restaurant Association. And the Great American Seafood Cook-Off was just pretty cool. And they had there were eight states on on each different sides competing, and they would kind of like dominoes, like one state would start cooking, during that time, maybe about halfway through their cooking time, another state would start their cooking time, and by the time that the first state finishes, the next state would start cooking, and then it would just kind of fall go like that, like dominoes, and you got to watch all the different states, and I think the winner of the Great American Seafood Cook-Off was Alabama, and they even had it on the news. But I got to watch it all. They had these. It was actually the 10th anniversary of the Great American Seafood Cook-Off, and they had these huge screens that would show everybody cooking, and I would watch that. I got to talk to a bunch of people at the cook-off and meet lots of new people, and that was great. And then my mom and I went to keynote speaker Chef David Binkle, and he is a very famous chef, and we absolutely loved his keynote speech that we were just taking notes frenetically, and we had tons and tons of notes for him. But he is actually, he has 1 million students in LA, USD, which is he's the food service director of Los Angeles Unified Service School District. And he's just wonderful, and I loved him. And he didn't, like, use a PowerPoint. He didn't use a podium. He just stood up there, and he just talked for, like, the whole hour, and it was amazing. And he said that changes we're making today are long-term changes over hundreds of years. And he actually said that he gave credit to four people. Marlene Cantor, a former board president, she said that we can't serve our food, quote-unquote, carnival food, and that we should educate kids about where the food comes from. And in 1999 through 2002, she brought new policies to the board, and they had a healthy beverage initiative, which was no carbonated beverages, exclusive elimination. And that actually, because they did that, actually led to death threats. And they had the healthy snack initiative where they served healthy snacks, and they got state laws passed. There was an obesity prevention motion, cafeteria reform motion, and that school lunch, school food, and school meals has negative implication. And what we're serving and how we're serving has a real impact. And to change image of school food, we change the food. And the kids were actually saying that they were eating county food, which is prison food. So we changed the way we purchased the food from invitation to bid to RFP, and we did it over 3 years. And that a cafeteria must offer 5 different components, and which is meat, fruit, vegetables, bread, and milk, and children can only decline 2 items. And so now in 2009, we only purchased 9% of the food from California, and then it went to 72% purchased in California within 200 miles. And they eliminated flavored milk and only served white milk. And, you know, he just had so many great things. And they go back and make an impact by doing something different and accepting only the best for the children. And he just had a great one. And then we also went to the SOFAB Gala, Southern Food and Beverage Institute Gala, and they served wonderful food there. We got to meet a bunch of new people. And then on Sunday, August 4th, we had a book signing at a Tisket a Tasket in the French Quarter, and that went well. And, well, that's all for this week. And I leave you with this quote from Chef David Binkle of the Los Angeles Unified School District. Go back and make an impact by doing something different and accepting only the best for our children. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Kid Chef Eliana with Cool Kids Cook. This show is produced by KidStar on Voice America Kids. Bon appetit. See you next week.
It's time to turn off the oven and close the refrigerator for this week. But be sure to join Kid Chef Eliana for another edition of Cool Kids Cook next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Have a delicious week and keep cooking.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
Has your role model let you down? Every day, it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation, our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune in to Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Tune in every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Has your role model let you down? Every day, it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation. Our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.